We give thanks to God for this beautiful Sunday morning that we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. And our main purpose for being here is to give praise to God and give thanks to his name for what he has done for our lives. Every time we come to the presence of God, this is what we do. We come to praise the Lord and give praise to his name. Amen? And so this is a sign of gratefulness. Being grateful to God is one of the beautiful things that we can do through worship and praise. Through songs and praise, we give thanks to God for what he has done. So I am really blessed and I'm really honored to come to this place, to the presence of God with you, and to worship God with you and praise the Lord with you as we continue our pilgrimage of faith on earth. And before I begin the message today, I would like to introduce my sister, Yvose, who is the chairman of the church where I worship. She is the treasurer and also the deaconess of the church. And today she was willing to come with me. Today we left our church in the morning and we come here. And also a young sister, about 14 years old, and Rebecca. And one of the youths in our church, and also Stephen's son, Emmanuel. So they were willing to come and to worship with you guys, children of God and redeemed ones. And I know that you are very happy to see them. And I'm very happy to see myself here. Praise the Lord. And thank you again for choosing me by the grace of God to share God's word with you today. And as we just read from the screen, the passage of the scripture, which is found in the book of Psalm, chapter 40, verse 4 and 5, and we will go along with Psalm 106, along with that to show you how it is important to trust God in our lives. And the trust that we are talking about today is not the trust, it has to be exclusive. When we say that we walk with Christ, it has to be exclusive. In other words, it's Christ and Christ alone. Because he, God, became flesh and dwell among us and tabernacles among us, so to show us how he loves us. I met two young children not too long ago, that was last week, and one of them was listening to the gospel songs that I have in my car, and he said to me, if Jesus is God, why he came on earth? Why he stepped on earth? And I said, right away the answer came to my mouth, and praise God, I said, because God loves us. We cannot go to God, but God can come to us. Is that wonderful? That's what love is. Love comes to you where you cannot go. And God's love comes to us, and which is a grace, which is really a grace of God. So this morning, the theme of our message, if you look at your bulletin, you see it says, when God keeps silence. When God keeps silence. What does that mean, when God keeps silence? And most of the time we pray, and we don't see anything happens. And we wonder, does God love us or does God care about us? Is that because of my sins in the past or my sins last week or what I've said before that caused my prayer not to be answered by God? But let me say something this morning. And God is not silent. God does not remain silent when we pray. He is among us. He promises us that he is with us always, even to the end of the age. Jesus Christ promises us, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth, even to the end, to the consummation of this world. Jesus promises us that he is with us. And not only does he promise that he is with us, but also we will be with him in heaven. He says, where I am, you will be also. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in Jesus Christ. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I will go and prepare a place for you, and where I am, I will come back, and where I am, you may be also. Is that a wonderful promise? Is that wonderful that to know that Jesus is with us? What happens to these days, and some people do not believe, really, and they are swerving. Their faith is swerving. In other words, they believe in God today and not believe tomorrow. Specifically when they ask God for something. You ask God for something, and then you keep on asking God, you keep on praying God, maybe to change a situation, or something that is bothering you every day, and then you wonder, God, where are you? And you begin to toss, you begin to toss through and forth. You don't know exactly what to do. And someday you come to church, another day you say, well, let me stay home. And you don't know. Let me tell you, the more you stay in the presence of God, the more blessed you are. And you will see the power of God. And most people, believe me, in the church, they worship, they praise God. But do we really trust God 100%? Let us come back to the book of Exodus and see exactly what happened when God chose Moses to set the Israelites free when they were under the slavery in Egypt. And God used Moses powerfully to take his people out, to set them free. They saw the power of God. When God, number one, when God sent 10 plagues to Egypt, and the second, they saw God's power to divide the Red Sea. But after that, suddenly, they forget about God's mercy, they forget about God's power, and they begin to complain in the wilderness. So when you look at the book of Exodus chapter 14, for example, and see, first of all, when they saw the Pharaoh's, when they saw Pharaoh's army behind them, and they are in front of the Red Sea, there is no escape. They had no wings. We have no wings to fly over the Red Sea. They had to do, there was no boat, nothing. And yet, was God absent at that time? No. No. He was at work. He was working on their salvation. When God is silent, when God remains silent in the midst of the storm, in the midst of problems that we never imagined that we were to get out of it, let me tell you something. God is working on your salvation. The worst things you can see in right in front of you, God promises that one day you will not see it anymore. You will not see what is causing you problem anymore. In the book of Exodus, let us take a look at that if you have your Bible with you. Chapter 14. Just to see what happened there when they saw. The Bible says in verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. Enemies. To do what? To destroy them. They were terrified. They were afraid. And they cried out to the Lord. Was God sleeping? Pharaoh's army was a great army. They had weapons. They didn't have the weapons that we have today, but they had weapons enough to destroy the entire Israelites. But God was working on their salvation. At the very end, when you have no hope, when hope seems no more, God will intervene. God, the Almighty God, the creator of heavens and the earth, will intervene at the very end. When there seems no hope, it's over, God will intervene. God requires of us full trust. We need to trust God 100%. Some people, they worship today, and after that, they go after other gods. They call them dead gods. Gods that cannot answer prayers. Gods that cannot do anything to help anybody. They call upon all kinds of names, and sometimes some of them tend to go back and to worship idols, looking for help somewhere. But let me tell you something. The redeemed ones, those who are redeemed, those whom Jesus Christ shed his blood for, let me tell you, Jesus is not a God that is changing. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I think, and it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in Malachi chapter 6, chapter 3, verse 3 to 6, chapter 3, verse 6, he said, God is the same yesterday. He does not change. God is an immutable God. He does not change. He remains the same God. And not only does he remain the same God, but also his power never reduces. His power remains the same. What makes you sad today will change into joy, because our God is the faithful God. So we have three lines that we want to talk about. First of all, is the first outline that we have. We have an outline there about trust God's promises. When Jesus says that he is with you, believe me, he is with you. Believe what the Bible says. He is with you. And Jesus wants you to trust him 100%. He is worthy. He is worthy to receive our prayer. He is also worthy when you see what happens, you know, what we will do in your life. The reason why I want to choose also, and let's look at the same passage also in Exodus chapter 14, where now people, they begin to complain. They begin to complain against Moses and say, why you bring us here? Don't we have tombs, cemetery in Egypt? They complain. You know, let me tell you, people who do not have faith, they complain all the time. Lack of faith leads to complaining. When you complain, murmuring, and we murmur, God hates that. You want to see, you want to have a genuine faith means to trust God 100%, even when you see things happen. Even when you see things happy, very, very terrible. Some people, they don't even trust God for their health, for the medical help. And some people don't trust God for a husband, to have a husband, to get married, or to have children. With Jesus Christ, nothing is impossible. God does not care about your age. Medical, yes, they have certain limitation. 70 years old, 19 years old, forget it. Now, but nowadays, 42, 45, 40, they say no more children. You can have no more children. But let me tell you, this is what people say. This is what doctors say. We respect them. They are very knowledgeable. They know. But let me tell you, God goes beyond human's comprehension. God goes beyond human comprehension. What Jesus can do, men cannot do. When we have limitation, God does not have any limit. At any age, he can do things that we would never believe. And not only for health, but for any other situation in life, God waits to the very end. When you have no hope, when everything seems impossible, there is no solution, he will intervene. And one example is that right there at the book of Exodus chapter 14, where he said to Moses, stretch, what do you have in your hand? A stick. Touch the sea. And the sea was opened up. And the Israelites went through. And they were saved. Was God silent? No. He was at work. Now, Jesus Christ, when he went to, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. And in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, they say he did not open his mouth as a lamb. He did not open his mouth because, let us take a look at that passage there. And the Bible says, he grew up before like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteem him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us upon was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, and he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, and he did not open his mouth. In other words, while Jesus Christ was suffering, he was working on our salvation. He was preparing our salvation. And you can imagine Jesus Christ, if he said a word, why do you do that to me? We would not be here today. We would not expect to have salvation today. And the book of Psalms actually is the book that really helps us to understand our relationship with God in bad time, in good time. When David was, there was a time when David had sinned against God, he confessed his sin, Psalm 51. And then there was another time when he won wars, he came and gave thanks to God. There was another time again when he was attacked by enemies. Again, he spoke to God. God wants us to believe as David believed, and even more. Because you know what? In the Old Testament time, God the Father did not want anybody to come to him. He said to Moses, come on, Moses, set up a barrier. Don't let them come. If an animal comes, I will kill him. I will kill that animal. Don't tell them to come to approach me. Stay away. Otherwise, I will kill them. But in the New Testament, Jesus came. God came and dwelt among us. So we must have a relationship, a strict relationship with God, believing that what is impossible for us is not impossible for God. God can do things that you would never believe if you wholeheartedly trust him. How many people shakes? You know, some people are swerving and they don't really trust God 100%. They don't trust God for their salaries. They don't trust God for a good job. They don't trust God in their exam. They don't trust God in that and that and that and God. And the Bible says those who have a swerving faith, or which we call again in the book of James, double-minded. Book of James, James chapter 1. Actually, James chapter 1, it says something very important that we want to share with you today. James chapter 1, it says verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of a sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his way. Today I believe, another day I don't believe. That is a double-minded man. Today I believe, another day I don't believe. This is why the reason why I use Psalm 106. It was after they discovered that God opened up the sea, so they went through. Then at that time, the Bible says they believe. Look what they say right here. And Psalm 106, verse 6. And we take, for example, verse 12. The world has covered the adversaries after the Pharaoh's army were drawn. And the Bible says, but then they believed his promise and sung his praise. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Everything looks good now because God did something good. It was that. No, God wants us to believe not by our sight, but by faith. They saw it and then they believed. That's what the Bible says. I have NIV. Then they believe after they saw something happens. No, we have to go to a higher dimension, higher level of faith where we don't have to see anything happen. But we do believe by the eyes of faith that God, not only he listens to us, but also he will act on our behalf. That's his faith. And now you say, but soon, verse 12, 13, but they soon forgot what they had done, what God has done, and did not wait for his counsel. In other words, they did not wait to fulfill his plan. And that's Psalm 106. Then verse 24, then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his promise. They grumbled in their tents and did not obey the Lord. Double-minded, in other words, that's the Greek word for dipsuke. Dipsuke means two souls. Dipsuke, two souls. In other words, one I believe, another one I don't believe. Then how can we see the glory of God? How can we see the manifestation of his glory if we have two faiths or two minds or two souls? It is absolutely impossible. And God says, without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God. In order to please God, first of all, we need to cultivate patience. Patience. When we pray, we keep silent and wait on God. If God does it right away, we will not understand how powerful he is. He waits to the very end. When we can do anything, and then now God takes over. When we wait and then we keep silent, people who grumble cannot really demonstrate no faith, no patience. Today, God, you don't answer me, then you go to somewhere else. They go to false gods, the Bible says, because they did not believe. They go and see other gods that are really not gods. They create their own gods. But we Christians who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, we need to believe that what God has promised us, he will fulfill it. This earth belongs to God. The whole world belongs to God. He can do whatever he pleases. We belong to God. And we know who God is when we have great intimacy with God. In other words, when we have that great intimacy with God, we need to build our intimacy with patience. The more we agitate, the less God intervenes. When we keep quiet, God is at work. And God answers prayers at the very end. You can imagine the army, Pharaoh's army in the back, the Red Sea. Then as they approach, there's nothing they could do. And God's intervened. Sea is open. If God can open the Red Sea, of course he created the whole world. He knows how to do it. What else God cannot do? He sent manna from heaven and feed people. Today, if we need to build an exclusive faith, a faith that is unmatchable. We need to trust God, Almighty God. The plans of God, the Bible says that God does not have a plan to destroy your life. His plan is to build your life. Number one is to build patience. Most people who fall into idolatry, worshiping false gods, is because they have no faith. They want God to be a microwave. My prayer, God, I pray today and I pray loud tomorrow and wait. God does not do anything. Then we begin to shake, thinking that God is unable. God is not pleased when a Christian, a so-called Christian, acts like this. If you begin to cultivate our faith in God, in that way, we will see the glory of God. The whole world will see. The world, your world, the world around you will see, God does exist. You know what? Because we build our faith in him. The second thing that we want to, the third thing I want to do is God's provision. This is not the same thing. It's like one subject in one word. God's provision for your life. God puts you here in America. America does not belong to anybody. America belongs to God. And God alone. He puts you here because he wants you to be here. And he wants you to be prosperous in this country. He wants you to build your generation and have children in this country. Thank God when I drove through the highway and I saw empty lands. A lot of lands. In other words, America is not even built. It's not built yet. We still have rooms for more children. Rooms for more people. But God is not pleased when we think sometimes, I now have two children, I don't need any more. How do you not need any more? You didn't make them. God did. We need more children in this country. We did. I said, well, man, we do because life is too difficult. Pagans think that way. We need to trust God to have more children. When we have more children, we have more voices. Does it make sense? No. More children, more voices. You know, when we begin to shrink and say, well, I don't need no more children, we try to do a human alternative. And then once we begin to do things like that, God is not pleased with that. That means we don't trust him. Life is difficult for the world, for pagans, but for the children of God, even the midst of famine, he will take care of you. My brother, who is now 45 years old, and so I remember when my mother was pregnant. Oh, my mother was complaining. Oh, my God, another one. She was complaining. And then, oh, my God, every time she had the pain, you did that. And so on and so on. Now, that young man, he is an engineer. He worked. He was a police commissioner in Haiti, where I came from. And then now the guy works for money and help my mother. And then my mother took an airplane, fly over here and visit and so on and so forth. And that was the most cherished man in the house, most cherished child in the house. We don't know. Let God do what he has to do. Don't prevent God from giving you children. Pray every time we have one. Say, Lord, take you. I'm pregnant. I'm talking about women. Thank you, Lord. Another one, thank you, God. Because he is able to take care of them. He is. People who do not have faith don't want children. Oh, life is too difficult. Too difficult for pagans, but not for God. God is able to to prepare for the education. God, if you don't have children, go have a small house. But once God begins to give you more children, he's going to give you a big house. But we need to trust him. We can't use alternative when we get married. We don't use alternative not to have children. We have to have children more. More children, more voices. That is trust. Now, when you go out, you shake the land with your voice. They have to listen. Isn't that wonderful? Believe me, I don't like to use that word proud. But let me use that word. I'm proud when we have 4, 5 children, 6 children, 10 children, 15 children. You don't have to just sit down there and then they work. They do what they have to do there and then you sit them there. People respect you. They cannot come like that and do certain things because you have people, you have children around you. I'm waiting when I die. I don't know when I'm going to die, when I'm in the coffin, to see my children come in and give whatever eulogy. Is that wonderful? Trust God. Trust his promise. And that is not the only to take care of you, but easy to take care of your children. And the Bible says, God's people, this, where you step, God gives it to you as heritage. This land belongs to you because it belongs to your father. You are princes. You are prince and princesses in the house of God. This land belongs to you. You don't believe that? Listen, if God wants to disappear, to destroy this world within a second, that's it, it's gone. This earth belongs to him. If he puts you here, prosper. You go to school, prosper. Trust God for education. That may not be your major. It may be another major. Pray about that. God will lead you. America needs you, young people. America needs you. You are the most needed people on earth. Not only for your profession, but also because you are Christians. You do things right. But we need to trust God. Everything God says, say, Lord, thank you. This is for me. Thank you, Lord. I will be with you. If you cross the way, wherever, I'll be with you. If you go through fire, I will be with you. Sometimes God doesn't take you out of the fire because you will not have any, you will not have any great testimony. You have to go through the fire. When you don't get burned, say, oh, Lord, thank you. There is a testimony. But if you don't go there, God puts you over the fire. No, God is able to go to the fire with you, to the cold temperature with you, to any situation you may be. Trust God. Trust God for your marriage. Some people, because they don't trust God, they do wrong marriage. And after that, they regret. And it's too late sometimes. Don't choose any other alternative. Jesus is able to do it. We are walking with Jesus Christ. When he remains silent, he is at work. The silence of God is one of the ways he works. First of all, the silence of God means that you are in exam. When you take a test, there was a day God speaks to you. He speaks to you through the word. He speaks to you. You listen. You don't listen. God speaks to you. He speaks to you. Then when the exam comes, what? The professor sits down right there with his newspaper, never says anything. And then you are at work. You are working because you are on exam. When God keeps silence, remember, God wants you to see your level of patience for him, your level of intimacy with him. He remains silent, but he's not absent. He knows. And he knows what is best for you. Is that wonderful? Because when you know that, okay, you're in exam and you don't know if you're in exam, you want exam. Where is your patience? Because patience is the second fruit of the Holy Ghost. Do you know that? That's it. So the Bible says that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Love, patience, right? I think the third one, right? Love, joy, patience. Some people, they have no patience to even stand on a line. They had the pressure all the way up. He tried to hit the ceiling because no patience. Sometimes, and if there was a heavy traffic, sometimes we'd look for another sideway or somewhere to shortcut, and then now another traffic, boom, again. You know, we live on time, we go on time. If there was a heavy traffic, okay. Everything goes well for those who love the Lord. We need to trust God and build patience and wait. At the very end, God has to say something, and he will say something. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is. He is able. A marriage, yes, he will come. Marriage will come. Children will come. You may not have a defect in your life that caused you not to have children, but let me tell you something. Stay at the feet of God. Well, God may not want me to have children. How do you know? Pray and ask God. And wait. I don't say not to go to a doctor, because I appreciate doctors very well. I love doctors. I love education. But before you go to doctor, consult Jesus first. Talk to him first. When doctor says no, don't tell them they don't know what they are doing. They know what they are doing. They study for that. We respect them. But to go to God, say, God, this is what the doctor says. What do you say? Sovereignty of God. Jesus is worthy. When we praise him, we give thanks to him. The more we give thanks to him, the better your life, your spirit will be at ease because you trust God. That is our testimony. Every time you come to church and worship and praise God and give thanks to him for the week and so on and so forth, this is God's testimony. This is the testimony that we have when we come on Sunday morning. Even when we give our tithes and now we give our offerings, that's a sign of admiration, and we just give God what God has already given us. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is what the gospel is. Totally trust God. Don't people cannot be Christian and go to fortune tellers. They don't know even they're going to die for themselves. They don't know anything about their own lives. How can they know about your life? Your life is in the hand of God. Your destiny is in the hand of God. Your marriage, your children, everything is in the hand of God. He is the one leading your life. He is the one running the show, not you, not us. Trust Jesus Christ for your life. What you can do, he goes beyond human experience, because he goes beyond human's power. Trust to show you his glory. He works like that in the Old Testament for the Israelites. At the very end, he delivered them. In the New Testament, again, he works for us. He went to the cross for us, shed his blood for us. If God can save your life, your soul, how much more? Well, tell me what else that God cannot do. He prepares you to go to heaven, but at the same time, he wants you to live on earth. People who don't have no patience while they go, sometimes they go out, they get angry at someone else. The problem is not at that time, because the problem was before, maybe day before in the morning, and they go to work angry, and then they put all the angriness to workers, and yet workers are innocent because lack of patience. We can't build. We have to build a faith, totally trust, exclusive trust. Believe that Jesus Christ is able to do all. Time is over. I cannot stay too long. I don't know how long. We'll never ask how many minutes do I have. But what I want you to please, when you come here to worship and put your whole trust in God for whatever the situation, believe me, Jesus will change that. He will change the situation and make you, feel happy, and you will have a testimony. People who remain sticky to God are the people who are blessed. But if the faith is shaken, today I believe, next time I don't believe, today I believe, next time I don't believe, that is not faith at all. That is paganism. That is pagans. Those are the type of attitude that pagans have. But people who are Christians, people who believe, who really Jesus is, people who believe, people who know, who understand, people who are aware of their belongingness to Jesus Christ, they build their trust and they have a testimony of his glory. Will you trust Jesus Christ with your life forever? Don't trust men. We give men's credit. We can give men credits for what they do, but never trust men. It's a sin to put your trust 100% on men. It is sinful to put your trust totally on men. I'm not saying that do not use God, God use people, but do not put your trust wholeheartedly on men. I'm talking about men, generically speaking. But put your whole trust in God. You give men credit. You give your husband credit. You give your wife credit. But trust belongs to God. And to God alone. Trust me that when you sleep, it's God. When you go out, it's God. When you come back, it's God. When you're at work, it's God. Trust God and God alone. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we give you thanks for this Sunday, another opportunity to receive blessings from you. In that sense, Lord, Father God, we are like Jacob, who was interested in your blessings, and he got them. We want to consecrate our lives completely to you. We want to walk with you in a way that we've never been working before. Open our hearts and minds so we can understand your word. We can apply your word in our lives. Give us wisdom. We can apply knowledge that you have given us. And most of all, Father God, we want to get closer and closer to you. You left heaven. You came down on earth because you want to create a family. That is the primary purpose, I believe. We believe that you created men, women, in order to have a family who can give testimony of your glory. Help us to understand the exclusive faith that we have in you. Bless the church as they continue to worship you in this place. Constructions and projects that they have, may you be the source of all blessings, and may there be the distributor of your blessings. Father, those young people, your young children that are in your presence, young adults, help them to understand what it means to trust you, not to refrain their life, not to refrain their faith, but to trust you as you give them kids to take care for you. Give them wisdom and knowledge and health and wealth so we can continue to give wonders, to give praise and worship to your name. Build their faith. Build their faith more and more. Let us go beyond human dimension so we can understand what it means to praise your name every time we come to give you thanks in this place. Bless the church and pastors and leaders that you put here to lead your people, to feed your people, to serve your people. Give them more wisdom and give them more humility and love so they can continue to love them and nourish them not only with your word but encourage them, oh Father God, to move forward. Those who are in college, those who are uncertain about their future, you are their future and you are the crown of life. You are the crown of success, the crown of faithfulness. May they be yours. May they continue to walk with you. In Jesus' name, our precious Lord, our Redeemer, the lover of our soul. Amen.